God is able, He will never fail. He is Almighty God, greater than all we see, greater than all we ask. He has done great things, lifted up, defeated the grave, raised to life. Our God is able, in His name we overcome. For the Lord, our God is able. God is with us, God is on our side.
Hallelujah.
Joy at the work of your hand. Forever I love.
Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13 as we continue on with the parables of Jesus. We're going to be in 24 through 30, and then he explains this parable in 36 through 43 a little bit later on. Everyone knows that evil is real, every single one of us. The deeper question is, why does a good, all-powerful God allow it to remain for now? We see evil, we hate it, and oftentimes we demand an explanation. If God is truly good and truly in control, why does he allow wickedness, injustice, and those who practice them to remain in this world? Here's our truth tonight. It's a little bit of a longer one. The devil actively opposes Christ's kingdom by sowing sons of the evil one in this world. But God, I love a but God, but God presently permits the righteous and the wicked to remain together until the final judgment, when Christ will separate them perfectly and remove all lawlessness from his kingdom. And oh, what a day that will be. But until that day, Christians must live faithfully in a mixed world, trusting God's timing, guarding their hearts, and shining as sons of the kingdom. Our first truth tonight is tares among the wheat. I'm going to read this all together. Y'all follow along with me. It's verses 24 through 30. Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. The slaves of the landowner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The slave said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, for while you're gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first, gather up the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" If God sowed only good seed, why does this field look mixed? I love this picture in the story of Jesus. You can see it. I can see him in my mind standing at the edge of this field with all of this growing. Why does it look mixed, though? The kingdom is pictured as a field sown with good seed. The kingdom of God is the total sovereign reign of God. An enemy deliberately enters the field and sows tares among the wheat. At first, the plants look similar. As they're growing out there in the field, you would look upon the field before they're growing seed, you could tell no difference. It looks like just wheat growing. However, when they matured and they started putting on seeds, that's when you could tell that there was a tare and there was wheat. A tare was likely a darnel, a weed that closely resembled the wheat until the head formed. The servants recognized the problem. They asked, "Do you want us then to go and to gather them up, pluck them out of the ground?" And the master answers, "No." And this is the important part. "For while you're gathering up the tares, you may also uproot the wheat with them, destroying the good by trying to get the bad." And why is that? If you've ever grown a garden, if you've ever had anything, it's the roots. So below the stem are the roots, and those roots are growing down and growing out, and they're all together. And so just you think about it, if you pull up a tear, likely the root system would have intertwined, and as you pulled it up, that root would hold to the root of the wheat, and the wheat would come up along with it. And so really, what is he preserving? He's preserving the good by leaving the bad. The master does not leave the tares because he approves of them. That's a key note. He leaves them because removing them could harm the wheat, and he allows both of them to grow together until the harvest. So God permits the righteous and the wicked to remain together for now because premature separation would or could harm the righteous, the one that He has planted. But we have hope that final separation belongs to Christ at His harvest, at His judgment. Supporting scriptures for this outside of this parable, John 17:15, Jesus said, "I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one." Jesus did not pray for His followers to be immediately removed from an evil world. He prayed that they would be protected and preserved while they remained in it. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." And so God's patience is His love, wanting those to come to repentance in Him, to trust in His Son, and not the evil one. We want evil removed immediately, right? I would love for it to all be removed today and we not have to deal with it at all. That would be the best case scenario. You may not have a job, but we would be happy, you know, to not have the evil present. God's delay does not mean He approves of the evil, and that is the one thing we can't overlook in this passage. Just because He allowed them to remain is not saying that He approves of or likes evil. It doesn't mean He's unable to stop it. It doesn't mean He has forgotten the people who have been harmed by it. It means that the final time of judgment, when this all will be taken care of, has not arrived. Many of us have been hurt by evil people. But if the final judgment came today, the present opportunity for countless people, would not be here to be saved. And no matter how much somebody has harmed me, I try to always remember, even though I'm not always successful with this, I try to always remember that likely why they did that, they do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ came back right now, that door is closed and their eternal separation is certain. And I do not want to see anybody go to that. As Christians, we must trust that the master of the field knows what he is doing, even when we do not understand his timing. Evil's presence does not mean God is weak or absent. It means he is patient and has reserved final judgment for his harvest. Let's go to the second part where Jesus explains it. This is the tares explained. Verse 36. "Then he," Jesus, "left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field.' And he said, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. So just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all the stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." Jesus does not leave us guessing. He explains the parable in very plain language. The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? That's Jesus. Jesus is the sower that sows the good seeds. Who is the enemy that sows the tares? That's the devil. That's the evil one. The field is the world and not merely the church. As I studied this, I saw where they cautioned against preaching that this was limited to the church. Jesus is, the church applies, this building and the collection of believers. Obviously, this applies to us. But he's not just speaking to the church. He's speaking to the world at large. The good seed represents the son of the kingdom, those who belong to Christ. The tares represent the sons of the evil one, those whose lives are characterized by rebellion, stumbling blocks, lawlessness. The harvest is the end of the age, the final judgment. The reapers are his angels. So we get to see something the angels are going to do in the judgment. Not us. They'll be the ones that separate this. At the end of the age, Christ will send his angels to gather those who practice lawlessness and throw them into the furnace of fire. We don't talk a lot about hell. You don't hear it preached a whole lot. But it's real. It's a real place. It wasn't created for us. It was created for the devil and his angels. But the Bible also tells us that if we do not choose Christ, if we do not surrender to Christ, that will also be our destination. And I don't want to see anybody go there. And tonight, if somebody came in here apart from Christ, they've never surrendered to Christ, tonight is the night of salvation. Tonight is the night to be that good seed that Jesus is talking about and not a tear. The devil opposes Christ by sowing sons of the evil one. But, as the Bible tells us, those people are morally accountable for that decision that they make of lawlessness, rebellion against Christ. And I love that last part. It got a little bit tough there in the middle, but that last part I love. The righteous, however, will shine forever in God's kingdom. Two scriptures about judgment real quick. 2 Thessalonians 1, 6-9. God will repay those who afflict his people and will deal out retribution to those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of Christ. God will repay. Revelation 20:12 talks about the judgment. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. That day is coming. I don't know when it is, but I know we're closer today than we were yesterday. It's hard to watch evil prosper while righteous people suffer. It can feel as though injustice is winning. How can a just God allow this to continue until the end? That's a question that's on the minds of many people today. This passage assures us that the present injustice is temporary, and final judgment is certain and forever. God sees every hidden act. He hears every lie. He knows every injustice. And nothing, nothing will be overlooked in his final judgment. The last scene of this is not evil triumphing. Even though today in our world, sometimes I look out there and that's what I think. I said, man, evil is winning. It is dark. It's awful. But in the end, it's characterized by light. Because in the end, the righteous will win. Righteousness will win. And we will get to experience the victory that Jesus made possible for us on the cross. So do not lose heart because of present evil. God's judgment is certain and his kingdom will certainly shine. So what should Christians do until the harvest? What should we do as believers today? We live in a field full of tares. No amens? I'll amen myself. That's true. We live in a field, in a world full of tares. How do we faithfully live until the harvest? Until Jesus returns, we as his followers are called to trust God's timing, to guard our hearts, and live visibly as sons of the kingdom instead of attempting to perform God's work of judgment. This does not mean Christians should ignore wrongdoing. It does not forbid us from confronting sin, from protecting victims, from practicing biblical church discipline, or supporting lawful justice. But Jesus is warning us here, as we saw when the Master was asked if we should go in and pluck up these tares. That's his responsibility. And his angel's responsibility. That's not my responsibility. It's not your responsibility. If we believe in the truth of this passage. Misunderstanding this passage can lead us towards one of two extremes. We may become bitter vigilantes who believe it is our responsibility to root out and punish every injustice, every evil person, or we can be the opposite of that, and we can become careless compromisers who use God's patience as an excuse to ignore sin. Jesus calls us to neither of those extremes. Here's three actions we can take in order to continue growing faithfully as the wheat. Number one is to trust God's timing and justice. Is this easy? No. No. If we're going to do that, we've got to refuse personal vengeance and cynicism. When evil people appear to prosper, remember that their present success is temporary. God has not forgotten justice. Romans 12:19 says, "Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." We may pursue lawful justice. We may confront wrongdoing. But we must not allow a desire for justice to become personal hatred, bitterness, or vengeance. If we go back to Sunday, we must not do that because that will absolutely drain all the joy out of our life that God wants us to have. The second thing we can do is guard your own heart against the lawlessness that characterizes the tares. Guard your own heart. It is possible for us to hate evil around us while slowly allowing evil to shape us if we're not careful. We can become hateful while opposing hatred. We ourselves can enter into that error. We can become dishonest while confronting dishonesty. We can become cruel while condemning the cruelty of others. 1 Peter 5, 8-9 tells us, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, but resist him firm in your faith." The devil would love for us to start down this path and be all these things and enter into sin and not be able to glorify the Father. He would love that. We've got to expect evil around us, but not allow it to determine our very own hearts and character. We can't be molded by the evil world, the tares around us. Rather, we can pray to ask God to search our heart, expose our sin, and keep us faithful, to give us that strength to do that in these very difficult times of injustice. Lastly, live visibly as a son of the kingdom. We need to devote ourselves to prayer, discipleship, evangelism, good works, and encouraging other believers in this dark world. We don't perform the final separation. We don't do that. That's not our job. We're not included in this parable, in this teaching of Jesus. We are to bear faithful witness and produce kingdom fruit until Christ returns. We are to be that planted piece of wheat that Christ has planted, and grow in that field and produce the fruit that is natural because of the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us. That is our job. We are to be a great harvest for our Father who has been kind enough to love us and plant us in His field. The tares around us should not determine how we grow. However, the darkness around us should make the light of Christ within us brighter and brighter and brighter. Like a light, like a house set upon a hill on a dark night. Philippians 2:15, "Prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights of this world." So we should expect evil, but do not be defeated by it. While God allows evil to remain for now, Evil is real. Evil is painful. And it can often appear to be winning for a season. We want justice now. All of us do. I do. I want the justice right now. But at the end, I have to surrender to God's timing and not my timing. God has not lost control. The field is still under His ownership and authority. The harvest is coming. Judgment is certain. And the hope that we have today, the hope that I have today, no matter how bad it gets down here, is that one day, one glorious day, every stumbling block will be removed. Every doer of lawlessness will be removed. And one day that field will be pure and it will be wheat, and every single one will be sons of God out there for Him, shining brightly in His kingdom. The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. But this parable is also a warning. The judgment is coming, and like we talked about earlier, you will be held accountable. And unless you trust Christ, unless you call upon Him for His righteousness and His forgiveness, you will experience this negative judgment and eternal separation from God. But tonight, salvation is still possible. The judgment has not come. And you can pray and you can surrender to Christ tonight and beg Him for that forgiveness and beg Him to give you a new life, His Holy Spirit tonight. And you can know that the rest of your life will be filled with His Spirit, and you will never, ever experience separation from a good, good Father for eternity. Let's pray.